Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15, please. Proverbs chapter 15, I want to read one verse, that'll be verse 4. I want to talk to you about the power of encouragement. The power of encouragement. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. Once you get that, if you would stand for the reading of God's word, I'd appreciate it. God's word says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings, your encouragement to us, your love to us. Father, we come because we come here today wanting to worship with you and fellowship with you and be a witness and a testimony to hear your word. And we just pray, Father, that you would just help each and every one of us for a few moments, forget about what's going outside in the world, what they have to do when they get home, what took place today at work or at home. Father, just open up our hearts and our minds just for a few minutes as we speak about the power of encouragement. Father, we pray that all things would be done for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, there are several functions that the New Testament church needs to make sure that they employ as far as a New Testament church. I believe that we need to evangelize. I believe that we need to edify. I believe that we need to exalt. And I also believe as a church we need to encourage one another. I believe that's the function of the church. You may add or subtract a few things from that list, but I believe basically that those are the functions of the New Testament church. Sure, we come and we evangelize. We want to see people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I don't know about you, but I go away sad when people don't get saved that come to our church. I get sad sometimes when we don't edify, and that means to teach and to train and to lift up one another. I'm kind of sad when we don't encourage one another, and I believe that this church is a good church as far as encouragement goes. But I believe that there's power as far as encouragement goes. A wholesome tongue speaks words that help heal, build up, and encourage. Surely no sweeter words fell on the ears of a blind Saul of Tarsus than the two words spoken by Ananias, "Brother Saul." You remember after his experience in the Damascus highway, he was struck with blindness. God and him had a conversation, God mostly speaking, and Paul mostly listening. And there, Paul got saved. He went off in blindness, something he had not experienced before. And there he was, and probably the first words after that he heard was from Ananias, "Brother Saul." And I'm sure for the persecutor that Saul once was, that was a blessing. That was an encouragement as far as words go. I believe in the power of encouragement. Let me tell you a story that was told by Dr. George Truett. It's a dramatic rescue from almost certain death. There was an apartment fire that took place, and I'm not quoting him word by word. It was a several alarm fire. Fire departments from all over the city responded to that fire. They came, and men were ordered and dispersed. They went to the fire hydrants, and they set up their hoses and so on and so forth. They turned their ladders. They got their ladders. They turned them around. They hiked them up because it was a tall apartment complex. And up at the very top of the apartment complex, the smoke was billowing. And there you could hear faint cries, and you could see people at the very top. So as firemen do, they got into the rescue mode. They climbed up their ladders. They went to the very top, and one by one, they started carrying people down from the top of that apartment complex. In the very end, they thought they had gotten everyone. Everybody was patting themselves on the back a little bit and saying what a great job they had done. But lo and behold, there was heard a faint voice coming from the very top of that apartment complex. There was one lonely woman. She had nowhere else to turn. She was gasping for air. She would stick her neck out and gasp for air. And as firemen are, they don't like leaving anyone behind. One of the men was encouraged and given some equipment to make one final attempt up that ladder to that apartment complex. That apartment complex was about ready to collapse, and that woman was about ready to die. But this man, whatever he had inside of him, he gathered himself and every ounce of courage that he had, he began to climb that ladder one more time. He reached the very top of that building, the top rung of that ladder. He had a robe. One of the men had given him a robe, a blanket, so to speak. And he wrapped that woman with that blanket, and he put her on his shoulders, and he started making his way down that ladder. In about the very middle of that walk down, he started to get exhausted. He started to stumble. The fire chief from below started to see that the strength and energy was running out of that man. And the fire chief said to the rest of the men, "Men, cheer him on! Cheer him on!" And the men, they did exactly that. "Come on, you can do it! Only a few more steps!" And that encouraged him enough to be able to bring that woman to safety. And all hands, as far as we know, that were in that apartment complex were saved. But encouragement is a powerful thing. But it was so powerful that it gave the man the strength that he needed to finish his task. Not only to come down safely from that apartment complex himself, but also to bring that woman down to safety as well. There is immense power in our words. We can either use our words to tear down or to build up. The old playground saying that says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me," that's not a true statement. That isn't true. Words of disapproval or discouragement can convince someone to give up. It really can. And we have people that come in our church every service that are discouraged, that are looking for something. And I'm glad that we have people that with just a brief word of encouragement, just to shake their... You know, sometimes when you get around to shake somebody's hand that you've never seen before, they kind of look surprised when you say, "Hey, my name is so-and-so. I'm so glad you're here." They're kind of surprised and shocked and awe. And then when you start carrying on a conversation as if, and we should, care about them a little bit, that goes a long way. There's power and encouragement, and we need to be encouragers as far as Christians go. On the other hand, words of encouragement can make all the difference in someone's life. We know that words can discourage, but encouragement can go a long way in winning someone. One vote of confidence, one kind word, one expression of approval may be all a person needs to keep going and keep fighting. And I know from firsthand experience, and I'm sure each and every one of you can attest that is accurate. You can come in here sometimes very low, or very sad, and just spending some time with some people in our church, just spending time with people can lift them up and encourage them to the point to where they're ready to go out and fight the old world, the old flesh, and the old devil. We need to be encouragers. That's one of the functions of the New Testament church. Let me tell you a story. And I told Wes I was going to tell a story on him. He thought I was going to do it in secret. But that wasn't my point. He looked a little hesitant. He thought I was going to talk about him behind his back. You know, a month and a half ago or so, Wes was in the hospital. he was afraid, am I right? You were scared, am I right? Because you didn't know what was going on. It was one Sunday evening, right after we found out that Wes was in the hospital, that several of us went to be encouragements to Wes. We walked into that room and his face just lit up. And we started to talk and encourage and kind of give each other a hard time, so much so that I was afraid that somebody from the hospital staff was going to run us out. Is that not true, Brother Carl? It was. I think we even talked about it. But did that lifted his spirits, I believe. Am I lying, Wes? It lifted him. He was able to face whatever he was going to have to face. Encouragement is a powerful tool that each and every one of us has. The Apostle Paul was an encourager. He specifically encouraged Timothy. He had paid particular attention to Timothy as a young boy. We know, of course, that Timothy's mom and grandmother, and they taught him in the ways of the Lord as a child. But Paul continued that instruction as he became Timothy's mentor. You know, no matter what circumstance or situation Paul was in, he seemed to always be an encourager. He always lifted people up. He always seemed to give people, to a degree, the benefit of the doubt. He always was trying to help, and he was leading by an example. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, was always an encourager. He eventually, Timothy did, stepped down as far as a pastor of the church. He was the pastor at Ephesus, Timothy was. But he eventually stepped down. Although he continued to serve the Lord, he was not as close to the Lord as he had been before. I know that none of that has ever happened to any of us. I know that we haven't fell out a little bit as far as fellowship and our closeness to the Lord from time to time. But Timothy did. He was still serving the Lord, but I believe that there was a time in his life when he needed some major encouragement. I believe there was a time in his life we needed to be lifted up and to be encouraged and to be strengthened because he was going to continue on the course. He was going to be like the Apostle Paul. He was going to press forward. He was going to give his last breath towards the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, for a moment, I believe that he was in a valley and he needed some strength. He needed some encouragement. I believe that Paul could sense this. But Paul had a kindred spirit with Timothy, and that he could tell that Timothy needed some encouragement. I don't think Paul was in Rome. He was in a prison. He was far away from Timothy, but he could feel, he could sense. That's how close he was to Timothy. He could feel discouragement. He could feel that maybe Timothy was at a low tide as far as his spiritual life goes. And lo and behold, what does he do in 2 Timothy? He encourages Timothy to continue on. And by doing that, he encourages each and every one of us to continue on, to be encouragers. Paul was writing his last words as God's faithful servant. Within days, he would be martyred. But there he is, pen and inking, last words of encouragement to a brother in Christ. What a blessing he was. Yet he was still writing words of encouragement not only to Timothy, but to you and I. Because there are times that you and I get low. There are times when we're not as close. Maybe our prayer time in life with Christ is not as close as it should be. And I believe that we could read from 2 Timothy some words of encouragement as well during these writings. During the time of this writing of 2 Timothy, men were preaching and teaching false words and doctrines. They were spreading their lies, evil eyes, and deceiving the multitudes. In 2 Timothy, Paul encourages Timothy to stick with the Word of God. 2 Timothy, if you'll turn there, chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 14, is words of encouragement from the Apostle Paul. Second Timothy 3:14 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Verse 15 continues with this, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ." Those were timely words of encouragement sent to a brother in need. Hold on. The things that you have learned, the things that you've been taught as far as the Scripture go, they're not lies. They're truth. Hold them close. Hold them dear and near to you, regardless if you're experiencing a mountaintop experience, regardless if you're in the valley. Hold near and dear these words. You've been taught. You know. I've been an example, Paul says to Timothy. Go on. Go forward. Don't ever give up, regardless of what these men, evil men, are doing to the world as far as spreading the deceits and their lies and their false doctrines. Continue on. There are people that need you. That's not words of encouragement just for a pastor or a missionary. It's words of encouragement for each and every one of us. Keep going. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And there are still people that are being saved, and we need to be encouragers. We need to care. We need to spread the word of God. You know, some people go to a jail ministry with their eyes, with their heads up and their nose stuck up, thinking, well, I don't know why I'm here. I'm better than these people. I don't need to be here. What a liar. What a liar. Everyone needs. Those people have been caught. We haven't. That's about the only difference in some circumstances and situations. Those are precious souls. We need to encourage them. We need to. I'm telling you what. I was there. Was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? When I was there. Those people encouraged me. And I was sent to try to encourage them. I think in the long run it worked out. It was even Stephen. But they encouraged me. We need to be encouragers. We don't need to look down at people. We need to help them. We need to encourage them. You need encouragement. I need encouragement. The pastor, we all do. We all need encouragement. God's timing is always perfect. He knew exactly the words that the Apostle Paul needed to give to Timothy. You know, I sometimes worry so much about what I'm going to say. When I was younger, I did, Lord. What am I going to say? When I used to have notes as far as preaching goes, I'd write everything out. I know that there are great men of God that did totally write out their messages and read them from cover to cover. I understand that. I was so afraid, but you know what I decided to do some time ago? Let God take care of it. My prayer before I ever preach or I ever teach or even before I get out of bed is, God, you guide and direct my day. You guide and direct my words. And if there's anything that I want to be, is I want to be an encourager. And so should you. To the last, I don't have much to offer, but I can at least be an encourager to someone. The Lord sent words of encouragement to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. Under the rule of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, Israel worshipped Baal. Here's a man that God had sent. He sent this man, this prophet, to Israel because they had sinned and rebelled against God. They were worshiping Baal, which is a vile and wicked religion. He sends them, and not only, he sends them there to warn them. God cared about those people, or he would have never sent a prophet. God cares about the people in Ravenna. He cares about the people in China. He cares about the people in India because he sends people there. He cares. He wants these people to hear. He wants them to be encouraged by the word of God. And here's Elijah. He's sent. I'm sure that if he had a say-so, well, maybe not, but I know how I would be. I'd say, God, you sure about this? These people are not going to want to hear what I have to say. Are you sure about this? But going in God's strength, Elijah went to preach and teach the word of God, to stand, to tell Ahab and Jezebel and the Israelites, each and every one of them, you've sinned against God. You've departed from God's word. God had sent a drought for 3.5 years and still hadn't got the people's attention. I'm sure there was something else Elijah would rather have done. But he was a prophet of God. He was sent by God to try to warn these people. Baal worship, like I said, was a vile and wicked religion. God was not about to put up with the people's lack of obedience to his commandments. So he sent a drought into the land. Whenever a nation falls into sin and idolatry, and God sends people to call it back to true faith. There are people all across this land. Our pastor knows it. The evangelist knows it. We all know, according to God's word, we're in trouble. This world of ours is in trouble. Each and every day we get more vile and more wicked. We turn against God more and more and more. It's getting to such a... There was a day when I was about 34 years old when Reagan and other people were president of the United States and our country would go in different directions. It would go in some directions and people were to vote for people or things. And I said to myself, you know, these people are decent people in this country, the United States. They won't allow this to take place. And sure enough, people would vote people out. They would vote things down. We wouldn't have homosexuality approved. It would be disapproved because the majority of the people would stand up, God-fearing people, and vote and say no. Marijuana wouldn't be legal. People, godly people, will stand up and say no. But when you have the Pope ready to turn and same-sex marriage is going to be all right in the Catholic Church, I don't have much hope any longer. The people aren't standing up. The people are not making a stand. We're not doing what's right. Matter of fact, they're voting what's wrong. What a shame. And you get discouraged. I can only imagine how Elijah must have felt. He wasn't making much progress, even though we know that in the story of Elijah with the 850 prophets of Baal and proving Baal wrong and proving God, he said to the prophets, well, you go ahead and pray to your God Baal and have him send down fire upon this altar. And what did they do? They snorted and they spit and they cried and they carried on. And but their God, and he didn't speak. He wasn't going to speak. He wasn't going to move. It was a false God. But yet what happened? You know, as far as God goes, when Elijah, after he did what he did to the altar, you know, washed it out more or less, and God sent fire upon it. And even at that, the people turned against those prophets, and they were slain. And Elijah was right in the middle of that. I'm sure that he was encouraged, he was strengthened, God had guided him, God had directed him as far as being a man of God goes. While Elijah was laboring to save a nation, false prophets and ungodly people were tearing it down. They were right in the grip of Satan. It wasn't an easy task for him. It's not easy. It's not be easy for you and I to be Christians in this world. Even though the world tells me that a higher percentage is of this world is Christians than the rest of it. Where are they all at? Why aren't they standing? It's not easy. You go ahead in a gay pride week in the middle of a march and stand up and open up your Bible and start telling those people that that's an abomination in the eyes of the Lord and see what happens to you. That's like Elijah and what he's doing as far as standing against the king and the queen and these prophets, these ungodly prophets. It wasn't easy for him. Elijah would have to face the false prophets of Baal. 850 of them would have to be slain. They had led the nation into sin with their false beliefs. When they could not get Baal to send fire down upon the altar, the true colors were revealed. Being exposed as fakes, the people would kill them. And that's exactly what we have today, is fakes. We have fakes. You know what? I'm almost sure, I don't know about you, Pastor, and I'm sure you are too, and Brother Arad, I'm sure you are too. When you preach a message, when you're done, it's draining. It can be pretty draining. Because you're giving your heart to the people. You're trying to warn. You're trying to exalt the Lord. You're trying to encourage the people. You're trying to evangelize those that are lost. You're trying to edify those that are saved. And it's a heavy task. It's a heavy load. We don't take it for granted. We study hard and long because we want to make sure that it's right. And then when God allows us to deliver that message, We're drained. Here is Elijah and having to face the people, tell them that they're wrong, tell the king and queen that they're wrong, and then the queen decides to send him a letter and says, hey, if I find you, you're dead. If I find you, you're dead. You're going to be dead just like those 850 prophets. He, out of strength, he didn't eat well. Physically, he was a wreck because he hadn't ate like he should. And spiritually, he was a wreck too because he stopped trusting God in some of these matters. He goes to the Lord. You can read this in 2 Kings chapter 19. He goes to the Lord and he says, I think I'm by myself here. I think you might as well just kill me. I don't think I'm worth anything. He needed some encouragement. He needed some help. But with this discouragement and being dejected, God sends an angel. Look in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 5. First Kings chapter 19, verse 5. Look at verse 4 and we'll read and see his countenance, his feelings. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4 says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Look at verse 5. And as he laid and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Just who do you think sent that angel? That angel of encouragement. Again, at this point in Elijah's life, physically and spiritually, he wasn't doing what he should. He was weak physically. And spiritually, he wasn't as strong. He had fought a great battle and many battles. I don't blame him one bit for running a little bit because of the warrant that was out for his arrest. I don't blame him one bit. But he let himself go spiritually, and he let himself go physically as well. And what did the angel of the Lord who was there sent to encourage him say? Arise. And eat. Not only did he allow him to get his sleep, he also fed him and took care of him and nursed him. You read a little bit further on, you'll find out there's a second time that almost exactly the same thing takes place. The angels encouraged him to rise and eat. How graciously God refreshes his servants. The Lord knew that Elijah needed food and rest, but he also needed a spiritual revival. Eventually, God guided Elijah to Mount Horeb. This is where Moses had received his call from God in Exodus chapter 2. This is where the law had been given. It is encouragement to know that even when a child of God is backslidden and discouraged, God cares for him in his grace. We need to always remember that. Even when we're in the valley of valleys in our lives, we need to remember that God is always there. He's there to say, arise. And eat. Take from me. Take your strength from me, and I will take my path, and I will guide you. We need to be encouragers. We need to be encouraged from time to time. There's power in encouragement, and we need to know that. We need to apply that as far as our lives go. God knows when we need encouragement. He knows. You know, you can hide a lot of things from a lot of people. You know, how many of you remember Captain Penny, Channel 5? You can fool some of the people some at a time, most of the people most of the time, but you can't fool Mom, right? Well, you apply that to God. You can't fool him. You can't hide from him. He knows. He knows when we need encouragement. He knows when we need help. God sends people like you and me who are willing to go and be encouragement to others. Visitation, when we go on visitation, it's just not, we go to encourage people. We go to bring them, to encourage them to come back, to tell them what kind of church we are and how we love the Lord. And we try to encourage them in any way that we can. If they're lost and they need to be saved, We tried to encourage them. We tried to lead them down the path. But man, we tell them what we're about, who we are. We tell them about our Lord and how we stand. And if there's anything, when we finish in the end, we try to say prayers of encouragement. We need to be encouragers. That's what soul going out and knocking on doors and going out and following up on cards of people that have made a visit. It's to encourage them to come back, to be part of us. That's what our visitation is about. Sure, number one thing, if a person is lost, we want to see him saved. But number two, we want to tell them that we're a church that are a bunch of encouragers. God sends, and I'm sorry, Carl, but I have to do this. God sends a person like Carl McDaniels. Do you know that he visits and makes phone calls encouraging people? When he can't go out, he calls. You know, my last week, I don't know what Libby's last name is. She comes to LBAL occasionally. My wife had called her, and she said, you know, Carl just got done calling me. I don't know exactly when you called her, but you must have called her pretty recent. Do you know that he does it? Have you ever seen Carl bring people in, people that needs encouraging, ladies that need to come to church to be encouraged? He does that. We need people that encourage us. Do you know that there's people in here that I won't embarrass that encourage me? You know, they do. Betty, you and Emma, the pastor asked me about a nursing ministry. And I told him I'd pray about it, and I am praying about taking that up. But you encouraged me when you said that you and Emma used to sing. That was an encouragement, that you would like to go, you know, occasionally. That was an encouragement. I believe that's God trying to, you know, make me slide one to one side or the other. But it's all encouragement. There are people in here, you have no idea how you encourage me. And we all need encouragement. There are a lot of people in this room that God is using to encourage others. Can I tell you that there's power in encouragement, and we need to keep it up? And if you're not participating, you need to get involved in encouraging others. You see somebody slide in your seat next to you that you're not familiar with, make them welcome. Say an encouraging word, even if you have to lie. Sometimes I have to tell Mikey looks good in a suit or something, just to try to encourage him. It's a lie, but I try to encourage him that way. But each and every one of us, we need to be encouragers. We need to encourage. There are people, maybe not necessarily just in this room, but attend church Sunday mornings that don't come Sunday night, that needs encouragement. And when we go to the hospital, it's always such a blessing because people are so appreciative of when you come and make a visit to them. That's just a blessing. Some people will say, that would seem to be an awful hard ministry. You know what? You get blessed more than I believe you might bless them. But there's some power in encouragement. We need to be a group of encouragers. And I believe that that's one of the functions of the local church, as being encouragers. Let's go ahead, have a word of prayer. Well, Father, we do thank you so much for all. I just mentioned two people in the Bible and a couple people in our church that I know are encouragers. There are so many examples of encouragers. And I pray, Father, that we would be a church that encourages. I pray, Father, and believe with all my heart that people need encouragement. And Father, you've given us the ability to lift up folks. People, there are people that walk into our church each and every service that need some type of encouragement. Just to invite them to a church function, just to tell them that the Lord loves them, will make their day, might make their week, it might even make their month. Father, and I pray that we would be a group of encouragers. Father, I would encourage anyone in our room this evening that has never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, that during the invitation time that they'd walk down the aisle and we could show them how to be saved, and we can tell them how they can know beyond a shadow of a doubt if they were to die, they'd spend an eternity in heaven. Father, help us as a group of Christians. Help us bond together closer and closer to that day, to the day ends, to that trumpet sounds. Help us be a church at Bethel Baptist that encourages, that helps, that cares, that loves. Father, I pray that during this invitation time, you know the hearts and the needs of the people. I pray, Father, if there's any need, that the people would walk down and address it with you. Father, bless, guide, and direct. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Everybody stand, please.
Let's stand. With every head bowed and every eye closed. How many would say, preacher? That was a good challenge, preacher. Thank you for that.